We're on page Kuf Zayin, the Maimer on Dvekis, the Tanoim Lekinya Dvekis, the beginning of Kuf Zayin. So the words that were starting with are very, very sweet. The Kamar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Kamar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Especially in this Maimer on Dvekis, it's important. The Mechaber talks about this all the time in each of the areas of Avoda, but particularly when it comes to Dvekis, which is a Madrega. A big madrega. It's important not to be nispal from the fluctuations in our avaida and the aliyas and the yiridas. It's like that with all avaida, but particularly when it comes to dveikus. That's what we were learning about last week. Let's finish this maimer. I'm going to go on, instead of vittel, which really would follow this, I'd like to do midas because it's serious aimer. So the next maimer is on midas, and we'll continue with that. But let's finish this one. Kamar b'shem b'yichai. Shakol Yamav Hayy B'Dveikus. Rabbi Shim lived his entire life in a state of Dveikus that we can't even imagine. He said about himself that his whole Metzias was Dveikus B'Hashem. V'zelo Bolo B'Kalos. But so we think that he was just born that way and it was easy for him. It wasn't easy at all. The Isa B'Zar Kaddish Ashchina Ha'isa Barachas Mirashbi B'Kol Minei Mekaymus. You find in the Zohar Kodesh that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was running after the Shekhinah. That the Shekhinah Ke'ilu was running away from him. And obviously it doesn't have to do with geography, even though it's described in the Zohar Kodesh in such a way, but it wasn't something, even for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that was taken for granted, that it was easy. But the Indian Rabbi Shimon was wherever he was in life, whatever he was going through in life, he was constant, like you see by David HaMelech. The whole Tehillim is the Chippus, the whole Shir Shir, on the Halach, that on the Panay Dodech, the whole Shir Shir, the whole Tehillim, David HaMelech, Hashem HaMelech, it's all a Chippus Acha Shechina, looking for the Shechina, trying to find the Shechina, trying to mizdabik to the Shechina every single moment of life. To discover that connection to the Shechina in this place, in that place, at this time of life, at that time of life. If a person shouldn't be nispal from any yirida at all, gamim achrei shis ala bedvekes hatzuma, nirloi shuma abedis madrega. Even if after he's achieved some wonderful madrega v'tveikus, he loses that, he shouldn't be in this ball at all. We're going to talk about that in Yitzham Shabbos this afternoon. El tomid b'chol inyi nishtal d'la'as leis avoda ad mokam shi'odam agaz. Whatever the matzav is in life, you try this avoda, do whatever you can. V'yisamach es atzom im kol mashuhu shekein zocha. And b'chlal, not to think of what was yesterday was on a high madrega. It's hard not to think about these things. You saw myself with kol mashu, but to be besimcha with any little mashu of dveikus, shekein zocha, that you are zeichet to. Not to think about how it used to be, and it could have been, and how it's not anymore. It's whatever, kol mashu shekein zocha. Anybody who's learned, look at the Maran, Sichas Haran, Sipur Maisis, anybody who's learned the Torah of Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman's Indian was that he came, one of the things that he came to the world to do was to erase the past. There was no other tzaddik that did as much to save us from the misery of being stuck in what was. And there are people that have tightness about that. Yeah, but you're supposed to live every minute with the cheshvan and nefesh and so on, and to be remembering the past. Rabbi Nachman deleted the past. And he knew with his Ruach HaKadosh that at the end of time, the past is not going to serve us well. It just does not serve us well. It's best to delete. What about a cheshbon nefesh? People naturally will come back to the past when it comes to certain times, especially when it comes to an elul, or it comes to certain times in life. It's unavoidable, and a person will come back to the past. But all of the religious stories you could say, why you constantly have to think about it and make a cheshbon nefesh and review what went wrong to be a mar de chushbana, And there are plenty of rayas. There are millions of places in Chazal and in the Svarim that talk about making a cheshbon nefesh every night and every Erev Shabbos and reviewing. Rabbi Nachman said, nah, don't do it. Stop doing that stuff. It's not working. It used to work. If it doesn't work, then don't do it. For the most part, it doesn't work. There's some yechidim that maybe it works for, so they'll do it anyway. It's just but as a mahalach and avoda, as a mahalach and avoda, Rabbi Nachman kimat deleted the past. B'chlal not to go back and it's hayoyim mamish hayom. Not to be Isaac in the honor of the past at all. And by doing that he freed us to be able to be present and to have she'ifas and not to chalila spend our lives licking our wounds and crying and not getting anywhere and getting stuck and so on. Just namish. Can that be used the wrong way? Of course it can be used the wrong way. Just everything can be used the wrong way. Are there people that might use that the wrong way? Could be. But often clearly, it's the only thing that works now. The Iker is, Kol Ma'ashu Shekein Zacha. What I was zoche right now, that's what I was zoche right now. Yesterday was a bigger Madrega of Dregas. Mali Letmo. I have no shaykhis to what was yesterday. It was big or small. But I don't keep a scorecard. I don't keep a record. I don't. It's kol mashu shezocha shekein zocha. V'achakach yivtach ba Hashem Yisborach sheyashlim es avoda. And then to trust that Hashem will help you. You're trying. Hashem will help you to be mashlim es avoda. Dal Hamatorah shel Advekus hi lizbatul Hashem Yisborach hi kolol bo. The objective of Advekus is bittul. Ki kechol shehaodam makir ba'amitas metzias Hashem Yisborach. Because to the degree that a person is focused on the truth of Hashem's presence, of his existence, hu margish es afsius ha'odam, he's able to feel this bittul, that it's not about him. V'hum is batal l'fan of his baruch, and he's able to experience bittul, which is the tachlis of the avodah of Eved Hashem, is bittul, which we're going to get to in Mitzvah Hashem, the parak on bittul. V'mimela odom sh'oived li'yidabeg v'gam yachid yichudim avol kol materoso b'shvir l'hagdol es atzmo. Therefore, what often happens is this very strange thing, that a person is working on Dveikus, on getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but his entire goal on getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is L'Hagdol Es Atzmo, is to feel better about himself, or to make himself into a bigger person, to have all of these, to Hasogis, L'Hagdol Es Atzmo. That's an Amsha contradiction. Because the truth is that the tachlis of all of Avodas Hashem is Bittul. Bittul doesn't mean that you're a nobody. Right now, what the Indian of Bittul doesn't mean low self-esteem. We've spoken about that thousands of times over the years. Bittul is to be completely in that reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if your whole tachlis and tveikis is to build up your own reality and your own portfolio, so then it's a stira. But the tachlis is l'skarv l'Hashem. And if your avoda is making you further away from Hashem because it's more about you and your madregas, and that's why a person gets so angry and upset about how it used to be and why he can't, and because it's about himself. So then what are you accomplishing? You missed the whole point of avodas Hashem, is to come to a place of elokus, of dveikus, which is bittul Hashem, not like the mayor of New York City used to always say, how am I doing? Mm-hmm. Live nice is atzmai. His whole administration, his whole work was live nice is atzmai. And live nice is atzmai is something which, when you look in a lot of Sfarim, that's what you'll see. You'll see, without going into specific Svarim and Tzaddikim, I'm saying that Bali Musa and so on, they were great people. But when you learn the Svarim, the impression that you get by learning those Svarim is that the Tachlis is Lahagdlus Atzmacha, is to make yourself into somebody that's greater. Now, he's not saying that our avod is not to make ourselves into greater people, but the greater you are, the greater the bittul. Mashenikim, which often happens in avodah without panimiyas, is that as the person learns more and davens more and is working more on himself, together with that, the gaiva, the conceit, the yeshus becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. The arrogance and the haughtiness becomes stronger and stronger. And it's not about a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's about himself. L'hagdlus atzma. And you could make that into a whole shita and forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the opposite of the avodah of dveikus, which is the avodah of bittul. We'll get to know it in a minute. And if a person does that, Izaihu Ichtias Amatar Lagamre, then you miss the whole point. V'amivchan b'zeh, chu b'midoisav. And how do you test this? How do you test yourself to see whether or not you're getting closer or further away? So you would think it would be by davening, or it would be by learning, or something like that. But it's not. It's what we're going to be talking about in the next maimer. It's b'midosa. It's with your midas. It's interesting. D'hainu, b'anhagoso im Yehudim. How you behave with other Jews, beginning with, if you're married, beginning with your wife, and if you have children with your kids, that's where you begin to test. That's the test of whether or not your avodah in dveikus and bittul is getting stronger and stronger. Whether you're getting towards that goal. Dafke, not in the avodah ben odin lamakom with Hashem. Dafke, that's not the test. It's the test of how am I doing. Is not. It looks like it's not in the subject at all. Since we're talking this whole thing, the whole time we're talking about man and God. We're talking about dveikus. We haven't spoken, there hasn't been one word until now about Reuven and Shimon. Every single thing has been about Reuven and the Baruch Shalom, not Reuven and Shimon. Not one word. Everything's about Dveikus Bashem. We're not talking about Dveikus, Dibuk Chaveirim. We're talking about Dveikus Bashem. Not one word about the other person. Now, all of a sudden, at the end, if you want to know if you're getting someplace in this Inyan, then it's with Reuven and Shimon. What's that? Because if your avoda in this area of dveikus is healthy and is correct, it's the right way. You become increasingly careful never to cause any tsar to another Jew, not to hurt anybody in any way, not to cause any tsar. Last page, and you don't hold yourself to be greater than any person. You don't see yourself as better than other people. I'm one of the members of the Dveikus Club. I'm a person from the B'nai Machshava Toiva. I'm a person, I daven slow. I daven in a special minion for the Atamat Vekim group, whatever it might be. If you hold yourself over other Jews, even the simplest Jew, and you see yourself as better than them, it's a symptom that it's not working, that you're not getting there. Which doesn't mean you should throw in the towel or get depressed. That's always just the nin of guy for throwing in the towel and getting depressed. But it means that there's a lo nachon. It's just not. And this is something that you see so strongly in our own circles. You have this union of people. You have people who are learning, or bochum who are learning, and they don't look at simple Jews in the right way, or people who are b'nei Torah look down on people who are not b'nei Torah. It's a simon that the whole learning, the word "whole" is strong, but a major part of what you're doing in your life with your Yiddishkeit is lahagdil es atzmecha. Lahagdil es atzmecha. Just to make yourself to somebody that's great. If that greatness that you're supposedly achieving has affected you in such a way that everybody else around you seems to be getting lower, even though they're not, they're just the same chevra, but they're getting lower and lower in your eyes. That means that you're not getting higher and higher. It means that you're either at the same place or you're getting lower, and you're just pushing people down. And now you feel higher, because when you look at yourself, you're higher. If you're truly getting higher in your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then your wife, your kids, and other Jews are looking increasingly beautiful. They're looking greater and greater to you, not lower and lower, not smaller and smaller. They're looking bigger and bigger. And it's hard to come to that. That's honest and real Dveikus B'Hashem. As a person is on that road of Dveikus B'Hashem and Bitli becomes more and more humble, more and more Batel Takash Baruch, and he begins to see the sweetness and the greatness of other people. You see this as the Madrega of Tzaddikim, and all the stories of Tzaddikim, this Nakuda, of how they saw other Jews, and the beauty that they saw in other Jews. The bigger the tzaddik, the bigger the tzaddik, the more he saw. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the whole Zohar Kaddish, is Ahavas Yisrael, is Dveikus, but with the other Jews, is Inyan of. And that's the difference between the after 12 years, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Chizv l'marascham, go back to the cave. That's exactly what happened, right? Here, Rabbi Shimon was 12 years, whatever that was going on over there with Rabbi Lozer for those 12 years in the cave. He comes out, there are Jews that are plowing and working in the field, and he starts to burn them with their eyes. They start to burn them up. Torma Tehela, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you learning? What are you working like this, standing out in the fields? You have plenty of people that talk that way to the now also. What do you Torma Tehela? What's going to be with Torah? What's going to be with Yiddishkeit? What are you going to work? And the Baskel came out, and the Baruch Shalom said, Chizla Maras. Did I take you out from the cave to destroy the world? Go back to the cave. And afterwards, there was whatever happened that final year, the 13th, which is already in Midas Rachmim, the 13th year is already a different Inyan. In other words, it's not just one more year. That extra year was a million years. That extra year. That was already a Madrega of the 13 Midas Rachmim. And then when they came out, there's already a. And the Gemara says there in Shabbos that the Rabbi Shimon went to Tveria, he went to help the Kahanim with the Pesach Chaim there with Tumah and Tahor, and Rabbi Shimon became Rabbi Shimon to bring the whole world up into the love, the Ahava that he had for the simplest Jew. Kamachaviv and Mitzvah Yisrael. Kamachaviv and Mitzvah Yisrael. And he saw the person running with the Hadassah and the Gemara. It's Kamachaviv and Mitzvah Yisrael. Aye, Jews are so good, they're so good. So when he came out after 12 years, he was with all of the Hasagas, he was burning up people. He was burning up people. He reached these Madregas, and he saw people that were working, and then they went back for the next year, and then after came out Kamachaviv and Mrs. Yisrael. What is it that I could do to fix and to build the world and to I'm here to help? What can I do? You could see to this day that this is these different types of people, where their Yiddishkeit brings them. Does the Yiddishkeit bring them to burning up the world? Does the Yiddishkeit bring them to building the world? I'm talking only about people who are B'nai Torah. Where does the Yiddishkeit take them? To look down on other people or to look up to other people, to love other people. If your avoda in Dveikus, you think is the avoda in Dveikus, is bringing you to a place where you're burning the world up, where you're looking at the world, you're looking at other Jews in a way that they're not so chashuv, so then that's not called Dveikus Basha. In the world of Dveikus, in the world of Dvaikas, a person becomes more and more like the Kedushas Levi, you know, or like it was just Reb Shaila Kerestier was Yard Site. My wife and I were talking a lot about the Yard Site, what the Indian have of the world, that the Jews became so enamored with Reb Shaila, right? It's interesting, isn't it? You don't have to be old to know that something happened over here, because years ago, I would say, maybe I'm wrong, that a significant amount of the people here never heard of Reb Shaila Kerestier. I mean, again, all Hungarian, you know, Jews heard of him because that was very much part of their reality back in the Haim. But aside from that, or people who are like students of tzaddikim, you know, they love to learn these things. Who heard of Reb Shaila Kerestier? You know, we use Kerestier masses. So now, like we were talking with the kids about it. What's Kerestier? Did you know what these matzahs were? Kerestier matzahs. So now they're all, it's Reb Shaila Kerestier, Reb Shaila Kerestier. I said, but if I asked you that question a few years ago when you were younger, you would have thought it's Kerestier, some town, someplace. I don't know what's Kerestier. It's Reb Shaila. And now when you walk into, he was zeichet to be with Chaverim, he was zeichet to be in Kerestier. You walk in, your heart opens. You feel like when you walk into the Kedushas Levi, you walk into Rabbi Nachum, and you see that the light of Reb Shaila came down. So my wife and I were talking about this, how Hashem does that with tzaddikim, and it's a fascinating thing, how that works. It's an amazing thing. First of all, a lot of it has to do with once somebody is put up with a picture and it's a skula, then right away that becomes best selling tzaddik, right? In other words, if that tzaddik could do something for me in my miserable life over here in five towns of Muncie or Monroe or Brooklyn. You know, if that tzaddik could make my parnasa better, or if I have his picture on the wall, or whatever, if he works for me, I need somebody to help me out, and I could put up this icon or this thing, and lahav the elf alfei abdolos, like people like to put up, non-Jews like to put up pictures, so that's part of it. The whole inyan now that became the klai yisrael over the past 25, 30 years with skulas. It's a very, very, very strange and odd thing. And say it's not the Nekuda Pnimis of what this is. Nekuda Pnimis is that feeling that this is a tzaddik that is able to look at you with all of your ugliness and all of your mistakes and all of your failures, that he's still able to look at you with the eyes of Rabbi Shimon, with the eyes of Kedushas Levi, with the eyes of the those tzaddikim that have Yisrael. And since people feel so tzaklapt with everything, this is what I think, and they went through so much negativity in their lives, and a lot of the negativity they got was from people who were supposed to be teaching them Torah, and they felt put down, and they felt hurt by people who were supposed to be their teachers, and they felt that they were nobodies. And along comes this tzaddik of Shaila, and he just doesn't, you know, if you want to come to Camp Shiloh, you don't have to fill out a form to get into Camp Shiloh. There's no form to fill out that, you know, that your parents were from, you know, three generations back or something, and that you know, your sister's skirts are long, and your brother doesn't is not off the derech or something. Shiloh is just general admission. Everybody's in. And people are chalishing for a tzaddik like that. There's something that there's an akuda there that's not healthy also. I don't want to talk about that now. The ikur is that there's this feeling that many people have when they were growing up, that the people that they looked up to for Torah looked down upon them as not being successful, as not being chush of a people, as not really caring and not really trying, because I dress a certain way, or I'm not so good at learning, or whatever, a little bit, you know, not following the program. People that feel that they were taught over and over and over, it was drilled into them over and over and over, the only way to measure success and greatness is how sharp you are. And there are thousands and thousands of Jews that are sweet, beautiful people, but are not particularly sharp. And even if they're sharp with other things, it didn't reach them. It didn't reach them. Okay, for whatever reason, it didn't reach them. The Gemara didn't get to them. And from that time, when they were already, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, when they started learning, so they already began to feel like, second class, third class. The other guys in the shir that are, they're sharp and they're strong and they must meet them, and Rebbe shows them such a hava, and you're from the Lo Yutzlachs, and then along comes Reb Shaila, and Reb Shaila says, I'm not testing anybody. To get into Reb Shaila, like it says by Reb Shimon by Yochai Smasifta, it says in Zohar Kodesh, everybody's allowed to. You try to get your kid into a cheder in Yerushalayim now. You know what you have to go through? Even if you're an Ashkenazi. If you're a Sephardi and you want to get into an Ashkenazi cheder, you have to change your last name and go white face. in order to be able to get into, and it's all about there's so much about this elitism, the smelly elitism. Davka coming from the world that calls itself the highest world, elitism, who's better, who's higher, and who's smarter. And why do people want to run to Reb Shaila? The same way they want to see their mothers and their grandmothers, because their grandmother didn't test them. That's why they love their grandmothers, they love their mothers. Fathers are not so hot on. But with their mothers and their grandmothers, why do they want it? Why mommy? Why grand? Why Bobby? Didn't have to fill out any form to get into Bobby. No forms to fill out. No requirements. How much do I know? Whether I went to Mincha, I didn't go to Mincha. Whether I put on my hat, I didn't put on my hat. Bobby doesn't test anybody. And when you walk in, the smile that she has, she's so happy to see you. It's so genuine. And you feel that, so you want to be with her. And if Bubi asks you to do anything, a babi, a safti, whatever, your grandma, whatever you call her, what are the Germans?
Oma,
all right. So when she asks you to do something, right, she'll ask you to run to the end of the world, your grandmother? Not even a question. Your rabbi asks you to move over to the next desk. They say that Russia. I'm so happy at this desk. He's telling me I have to move up. He said, move over 6 inches so you can see better. You go off the derrick from that. He's a rush. He said, what happened? Rebbe asked me to move over 6 inches. So what's the big deal? He just wants you to be able to see better. Not Russia. But mom or your grandmother asks you to do something, you move over 6 million miles for her. Why? Because you didn't have to fill out any forms to get into her Beis HaMedrash. She didn't measure you. She didn't hold. She didn't test you to see whether or not you're like this or like that. So the feeling that people have with Reb Shaila, so they meshugga with Reb Shaila, because it's the biggest sin, how to collapse the generations, how the generation feels so bad about itself, so broken about itself, that when they see Reb Shaila's face, they feel his tzaddik. It was like my grandmother. Didn't hack me with stuff. Didn't expect anything of me. Now that's where it gets tricky. Because at the same time, you always hear me talking about achrayus, taking responsibility. That's where it gets tricky. That's where you have to be careful with this stuff. That's why I get very nervous about this thing, because it does also come with certain people with this feeling like of everything is fine. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to take out the Gemara. I don't have to work on anything because when I'm with Bubi, life is good. When I'm with Reb Shaila, life is good. Right? Or now you have the Sefer Zeres Shimshon. Now I have a Zeres Shimshon for 40 years. I learn it occasionally. In all honesty, it doesn't speak to me so much, the Sefer. It's a gewaldige Sefer. Who heard of Zeres Shimshon? I'm a Mishigu Svarim, so I have it for a long time. It's a very chashuv sefer. But then it came out that there's a school that learns Zarei Shemshon. Now it's translated to English. Now I walk in the school, I see there are papers, the weekly Zarei Shemshon. What's the weekly Zarei Shemshon? Why don't you have like the weekly Parshas Kedoshim? I don't know. There's a weekly Zarei Shemshon, not to say, I'm not saying about the Zarei Shemshon, Sadiq Sadola. They translated the Zarei Shemshon to English? What? I didn't see it, but I saw it advertised, Zarei Shemshon in English, or you can get it on your app, Zarei Shemshon app or something. Why? What happened to Zarei Shemshon? Like, why Zarei Shemshon? Like, why not Minchas Chinuch? You ever learn Minchas Chinuch? Why Zarei Shemshon? Because there you have. It'll be good. I'll take care. You'll take care of me. What do I have to do? Nothing. Just own the cipher. You don't have to even really learn it. Just keep it like by, you know, keep it by the candles. If you learn it, okay. But if you keep it by the candles, yeah, and every now and then you look and you say, Zarei Shemshon. And you go to a yearly Zarei Shemshon reunion or something, and you pay the Zarei Shemshon dues, which you see in the newspapers. You get all kinds of dues for these things you have to pay. So then you're in. There's something very dangerous about that, of course. There's something very, very dangerous. I'm not talking about that being unhealthy. But it's an interesting thing that's going on in Klai Yisrael, this business. It's interesting. But the pnimius of Reb Shaila, the pnimius is this. I feel very strong that that's what's happened over here, the Reb Shaila goes there. People putting up his picture everywhere. Who saw the picture of Reb Shaila years ago? Again, my father said that in Hungary they had in the house a picture of Shaila because they believed it was a school that not to have mice in your house. And I believe that too. There is a school like that. I believe in schools, I'm not against it. But they, in Pnimius, what happened to Reb Shaila, Kerestir? Zagut a mensch. Of there, you see now that how everybody with Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, outside of Kosh Levracha, how everybody was enamored with Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel. What made Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel? What was it that it, was it his learning? He was a great Talmud Chacham, but there were many greater Talmud Chacham in the generation of Reb Nosson Zvi. He would be the first to tell you that. There are many greater Talmud Chacham than Reb Nosson Zvi. And that's not why people flocked to him. That's not why people wanted to be near him, because he said a better Shia than everybody else. He didn't. He was a big Talmud Chacham, but he didn't say a greater shiur than the rest of the world. So then you have all these yeshivas that they were upset. How come everybody goes to Reb Nosson Zvi? You know, did somebody from Ida Crown, you know, from Chicago, you know, they all go to him. How come they're not coming to me? I'm the Gadol Hador. How come they're going to him? He's not the Gadol Hador. I'm the Gadol Hador. The Torah says that Reb Nosson Zvi never ever in his whole life thought of himself as being an Adam Gadol. That's why they go to him. That's why they go to him. And not only that, but he saw you for who you are. And he saw you as a beautiful person the second you walked into him. He saw you as a beautiful person. Like there was somebody that said a very good word that they asked him why, you know, when he went to Lubavitcher Rebbe school. I mentioned this in the past. Someone told me a good word from a Jew that you, there are certain tzaddikim, when you go to that tzaddik, you see the greatness of that tzaddik. By the Babich Rebbe, you used to go to him, you would see your own greatness, besides his, but you would feel your own greatness when you went to him. That's what it is about Reb Shaila. You feel something better about yourself when you go to him. The guys didn't feel that way wherever they went necessarily in their journey of Yiddishkeit. Oftentimes, and I'm not saying it was always the fault of the teacher or whatever, but oftentimes they felt worse about themselves, not better about themselves. There are other tzaddikim that when you go to Reb Leib Leiger and you learn Reb Leib Leiger, you just when you come to that tzaddik, you just feel better about yourself. When you come to Rabbi Nachman, you just feel better about yourself. You know? Now, could that play into a certain negative thing in your life and weakness? It for sure can. There's this big Shakla V'Tarya, and I'm getting it, you know, calls and emails about this now, because there's a whole industry that's developed and, you know, with legalized drugs of how to make yourself feel more ruchnius, to make yourself feel better by taking a couple of things, you know, and you're feeling better about yourself. And whether or not this is a mahalach for an Oved Hashem to take this stuff, and it's tricky. Rabbi Shemayim Vorgenstern is fire against all this stuff. And the other tzaddikim are saying, no, you know, maybe a little bit is okay. It's still not clear. Not talking about doing anything illegal, chas v'shalom, but if it's legal, so, and there are ways of doing this that are not dangerous, let's say. I'm sure you've heard about there's new stuff that's out there. There's new type of therapy and there are people who have not been matzliach their whole lives in moving ahead and emotionally and in their Yiddishkeit. They're like stuck, and this is the things that are very, 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 can be very helpful. So there's a tremendous excitement and an interest in that. So this is a complicated parasha. The parasha of getting a fix. It's a complicated parasha. But we understand why people need that, why people want it. And you have to know where that's coming from. The people of Mamish just clapped. I know, you never, you talk to people there. They're just tzeklap. You know, Menachem, you spend your whole life talking to Chevra. Well, they're tzeklap and tzahak. They're like Hoshanas that were beaten and beaten over and over and over again. Like, you know, just feel like Hoshanas of that. And to lift them up and to bring them to a place. I have so many people over the years, you know, I'll get like, all the time with the chizik, you know, when you were younger, you used to give more, you know, different kinds of shiram. Now it's so much with the chizik. So then don't listen to me. Why does that upset you? Like, I'll go down somewhere else. I'll go put on another tape. Like, what is my fault? You don't like it, so I don't care. Do whatever you like. Listen to some other thing. There are very wonderful shiram out there. Why did I change my style over the last 20 years? Because I'm the world to me changed. Everybody I talk to, after I talk to them for 15 minutes, they break down and they're falling apart. And I didn't feel that 20 years ago. I was ignoring it 20 years ago because I was more interested in saying Big Shiurim. And I wasn't looking at the people that were sitting next to me. And I try now to, as I get older, I see more of the vulnerability and the pain. I'm trying to see it more, and I see it more. It's screaming everywhere you turn, everywhere you look is pain. And even and you think by the ones that they look most put together, and they have, you know, they look like they're like everything is great and it's gavaldi, the most sabrach. It's just you go 5-10 minutes, you go a little bit, you scratch. You don't have to go. It's not hard work to get to it. They're the most sabrach. And the ones who look like they're this, they're that, they're steiging, and the ones who are filled with yeshus and gaiva, it's very hard to get to. The ones who still have a mashu of humility, and you could talk to them for 2-3 minutes, they'll say, "I got big problems, Rabbi. Big problems. It's not the way it looks. Just because my tzitzis are cleaning the floor, doesn't mean that I'm not on the floor. You understand? It's not dafka that I'm doing so well. I bought long tzitzis. You can get a pair of tzitzis. It's your other store." But doesn't mean that, or if you like payas, you just stop cutting them, they'll grow. But as far as my life is concerned, it's a mess. So that's why I believe that at this point, that's what the Rebbe Shlomo is telling me to do, to try as much as possible to be mechazek. I don't know. So I think that people are tzeklapt. They just have had it. And they it's hard for them to move on. And even if they look like they're moving on, because they go to this daf, they go to that daf, and they go to fancy shir, but where is there an honesty in who you are, and being able to look at yourself in the mirror as a father, as a husband, as a Jew, really bamis? Don't tell me that you go to this shir, you go to that shir. Don't tell me you made another siyam and this, you made another siyam and that. Who are you as a yid, as a father, as a husband? Who are you? And people are, when people stop and they start thinking about that, they, if they're honest and they have a little bit of humility, they just break down and cry. And they could be hiding all of the lies behind the scene, behind this, behind the being part of something, and you know, whatever. But the emes is that the broken kelim, and the Baruch Hashem wants us to help, well, everybody to be part of this, to be mechazik each other. There's the need of Mashiach Savayda, it's the whole lineage. Mashiach comes to the world and sees, like it says in Navi, that everybody is filled with tzaraas. Everybody's covered from head to toe with tzaraas. And tziras is not only the kind that in Parshas Mitzrayim and Tazria Mitzrayim. It's covered with tziras from head to toe with tziras. And the whole avodah of Mashiach is to help these people. That's the whole avodah of Mashiach, is to help. It's the people are hurting. That's what he's saying here at the end of the parak, that if you want to see where you're going in your avodah, it's how careful you about how other Jews are feeling. That's a siman of where you are. That your whole inyan in this world is not just lahagdol es atzmacha, to make yourself into a bal madrega. A bal madrega, the closer you are to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more you see in other Jews how good they are and how much they need you and how much they're hurting. As you move further along, you see more and more the beauty in other people and so on. That's the test. Ve'enu mezgar al shum Yehudi el Eroya by chelek elokom yimal. You see in every single Jew a chelek elokom yimal. You see in everybody. And you're filled with ahava, a love for every Jew. Because that's what comes from real dveikus. That real dveikus, bittul dveikus, brings a person to that feeling of ahav l'racha kamaycha, ani hasha. When that's true in your life, that's why the pasuk ends with the words ani hasha. When it's real that ani hasha, okay, when that's true, then there's ahav l'racha kamaycha, ani hasha. But if that's missing, if the ani hashem, as if you want to know whether there's ani hashem in your life, then you go back to the reisha ahav l'racha kamaycha. Then that's a siman that there's ani hashem. But if your ani hashem doesn't take you back to the beginning of the pasuk, your avodas hashem is not taking you back to the beginning of v'hatu achak kamayich as a klal gula b'torah. If it doesn't take you, that's what Rabbi Akiva is talking about, as a klal gula b'torah. Rabbi Akiva is a klal gula b'torah. So what he's saying, like some speech, like a reform rabbi, that if you love other people, you're a tzaddik. What does that mean? That's what he's talking about. There's no ani hashem without v'hatu achak kamayich. There's no such thing as dveikus b'Hashem without v'hatu achak kamayich, without that inyan of Reb Shaila. It's not real. You might be very smart, you might be good, you might be very frum, but everybody knows that frumkeit is not the same thing. You're very frum, but that doesn't necessarily make you into. If you have people you have kids that come back all far frum, then they kill their parents. It's one thing that they wanted to keep things differently, okay, but then they could be nasty to their parents, or they could be chutzpahdik to their parents. So has the ani hashem, does ani hashem make you into a chutzpahdik person with your parents? The ani hashem made you into somebody that's not nice to other people. That's ani hashem. No, that's ani, not hashem. Just ani, not hashem. He's saying, "Who I have a makusha believe a pnimel call Yehudi." She said, "By me dveikas I meet this shemivias adam lemidas tayvus ki midas tayvus megias aydanam bittel and dveikas." That's where midas tayvus come from, is from anava, from humility. That there's a bonus shalom ani hashem. Ani hashem brings a person to v'avla hakamayim. So davening begins according to the reason. All right, harini mekabelai mitzvahs asay shalom v'avla hakamayim. And then you say matayvul achayak, because they can't be separated. Those two worlds are inseparable. Let's just quickly do the note. Kuf Samachay. Vina Yesh Bnei Aliyah Shemachav Samasogus Amaros Hayyaron. There are Bnei Aliyah. People are trying to get strong in their Yiddishkeit, and they're looking for all kinds of experiences and madregas and so on. Avil Im Zem Huur Begayva. But if this search for Hashem is mixed with conceit, with haughtiness, Kol Shekei Im Lo Tiher Es Ma'aseh. If he's not trying to purify his life, as a Yesh B'Zeh Achiza LeKlipas Chelil, then the Klipas can grab onto that. The side of the other side of Tumah can grab onto that. You could end up being very, very frum and doing the biggest of errors. And from that come all the bad things. You could be very, very frum, but you're doing all kinds of bad things. You can't really come to Hasogis and Hashem, great Madregis and Hashem, and closeness to Hashem, unless you work on purifying yourself with another, with humility and so on. V'im kivanta lishma, shemakavin rak kedei liskav l'Hashem esbaruch lahaglis kvaido. Unless you're trying to make Hashem's covet bigger, not your own. You want to lahaglis Hashem, not lahaglis atzmacha, not to make yourself bigger, to make Hashem's baruch's light bigger in the world. That's humility. L'chein tzarek shebitchilas avados ha-yizvak is kol ha-ritzaynis afilas rotzim l'shef and the vudak dusha. Therefore, when you're starting to be an Ovid Hashem, you have to throw out all of these religious ritzaynis about where am I getting and how great am I and where am I going. You throw all of these things out. Even the rotzim to reach madregis and vudak dusha, whatever. L'chapis madregis vazdagis, not to be looking for madregis. You learn this from Kedoshim, see that the Svam, the Talmid Baal Shem, over and over and over, not this Indian, of not to be looking for Hasagas and Madregas, but to be looking for Hashem Isbach, not for Hasagas. For looking for Hashem, not for your ego, but to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yachshev shebli Torah Kedusha u'dveikas karoi enu mu'unyin b'shum shef and nevuah, and to think, I'm not interested in reaching any levels of nevuah, dveikas, he says, you cannot come to the gate of the king while you're wearing a sackcloth, which means of gaiva, of conceit, of all kinds of tumma, and you can't come to the gate of the king in such clothing. Rak achash yizdakech, to purify yourself of ego, of conceit, of gaiva. Via dovuk b'Torah, karoi, to connect yourself to Torah, to mitzvahs, and so on. As ayuchal liskos, the shef ha-mitil, if you mashin ishmas ha-tzvich, then whatever, that's a gift that Hashem gives you. Whatever those madregas or those asagas are, that's a gift. Meshavan is the most humble person that ever lived, and he was the biggest baal asagas. The formula is very clear. Meshavan is anu mikol ha-drasha p'nei adam, and Meshavan is the one who received the Torah. You don't have to make any fancy drushes about this. People, if you go many, many years later to another Moshe, so Rav Moshe Feinstein, so you have all people that say, how come Rav Moshe, how did Rav Moshe? Because Rav Moshe was the most humble person in the world, and the Rav Moshe was the biggest postik in the world. It wasn't complicated. The whole world came running to Rav Moshe Feinstein because Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe didn't hold himself to be anything. It's that. And the whole world, and you have all these people that they know how to learn, and they're sitting grinding their teeth, that how come nobody's coming to them? How come no one's running after their Piskei Halachas and running after their Shiurim, or if they are, it's just to slug them up or something? How come no one's coming? And Rav Moshe never said nothing, never took a thing for himself, nothing. And the whole world's Rav Moshe Feinstein. It was the same thing with Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They made from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he for himself, nothing. It's like, he went, Poshet Sheba Pshutim, and everything that he did was with complete Pshitas. Didn't want anything, didn't look for anything, nothing. And the whole world is, got such a thing. So now everybody wants to sign up to become Reb Chaim Kanievsky. How do you become Reb Chaim Kanievsky? So all they're telling him now is learn, and you become Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Kilo, that's all it takes to become Reb Chaim Kanievsky, is to learn. Reb Chaim Kanievsky didn't become Reb Chaim Kanievsky because all he did was learn. His learning was never stopped. But if you've read a little bit about, and you've heard a little bit about, especially his younger years, it was all about Kabbalah Sol and Bittl and humility. He was the most humble person in the world, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Most humble person in the world, and that's not something that is, you have to work on. That it doesn't just come easy. You have to work on that. But that's through that humility, the unbelievable humility. Okay, so Mitzvah Shem next Erev Shabbos we'll begin the next Maimer on Midas. Shkai.